Hey guys, it's Kristen. Do you want more Ask Women sent to your email almost every day? Well, then sign up on our ConnectPal page, which is connectpal.com/askwomenpodcast. You'll get tons of free extras like fresh podcasts, articles, videos from Marnie, videos from our guests. It's awesome, and it's definitely worth the $3.99 that it costs per month. So go to connectpal.com/askwomenpodcast.
Coming up on this week's episode of the Ask Women podcast, we decided to do a full episode of Overanalyze This because we have Rich and Covino on the show, and they have their own show on Sirius where they talk and give advice to people. So they're pretty good at giving advice, so we thought we'd have them give advice. Keep listening.
Hey guys, welcome to the Ask Women podcast, where you get real advice straight from the source. Women, I'm Kristen Carney, one of your hosts here, of course, with Marnie Kinross. She is the owner of WinGirlMethod.com. And we have, I guess, two voice of men today.
Yeah.
They sound more like 10. You guys are like, which I think is normal because they're radio hosts from the show Covino and Rich.
That's right.
But
yeah.
But I'm white, so I'll say Rich and Covino.
It's Covino and Rich. Yes.
Nope. I like your style.
Are you saying it's a white thing because you sound more ethnic, so your name should go last?
No.
Confused by it.
I think that's part of it, too. I guess a lot of times when we talk to either management or publicists or other people, I'm usually the talkative one, so I think they just assume I take the lead, and it's Rich and my Guillermo sidekick, Covino.
I'm not Guillermo, so the show is Covino and Rich.
You started out as a security guard at Sirius?
No. Yeah. But I did start off
as... Ain't that right, Covino?
Si, senor. Ay, Dios mío. No, but I did start off as a guy who drove the van at the local radio station in New York and worked my way up, and we have a talk show now, and that's it. Boom.
Covino sounds Italian
to
me.
It is. But my mom's from Mexico, so I'm a half-breed. Okay. Pato loco forever.
Okay. And he plays up the Mexican so that...
So I can get away with racist jokes.
Yeah. So we could do racist jokes.
You can still get away with racist jokes as an Italian. That's the whole thing about being Italian.
Absolutely. Yes.
That's why I play it my
Italian. I'm proud to be both. See, but growing up in New Jersey, I had to really play up the whole, hey, brother.
Of course.
Oh, bro, yo, what's going on? The Guido thing.
Right.
But here on the West Coast, I could be the LA player by La Playa.
Oh, yeah.
No, yes. Don't think so.
Yes.
Wow, that works great.
Got to get into my Mexican roots when I'm out
here. So we have three voice of men.
Yes.
Mexican, Italian, and a white guy.
And me, yeah.
And Rich, the gringo, loco forever.
Don't you like them?
Yeah, you guys are cool.
Honestly, this time is going to go by so fast. I did their show like last week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I swear to God, it felt like 15 minutes. And I've never spoken so fast in my life.
Yeah, I feel like I have to keep
Years ago,
we've had her on, and we remember, like,
I know
you really killed it on our show. Like,
oh,
hey, you know what?
You.
A lot of times, not to be a chauvinist asshole, but you know,
but
women are on our show.
I'm Italian and Mexican. I can't help it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, I'm saying for you. Yeah.
I was like, you too? No way.
I wish.
You know, women leave the show, and it's like, yeah. Wow. Where do they get this bullshit advice from? Mm-hmm. But when she's on our show, I'm like, you know what?
She's outstanding.
Yeah, kinda...
Aw, thanks, guys.
She's got outstanding bullshit advice.
Yes, exactly.
You said it.
Exactly. Kristen's been working with me for 3 years, and she knows. Mm-hmm. She knows my bullshit advice. Mm-hmm. Well, I really just want to do a whole episode. We have this segment called Overanalyze This, where we take in questions from listeners, and we just overanalyze the shit out of their questions and figure out what's going on for them. And I know that you guys are really good at giving advice and opinions. You're not shy about sharing what you really think, so I just want to dive into these questions if you're open to it.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Love it.
Anybody, if you want to write into Overanalyze This, write into ask@askwomenpodcast.com. Okay, you're going to say, we've done this before, but we did it for iHeart, so I'm just saying that this is still fresh for this show.
Okay.
Sometimes I reuse questions if they're really good.
It's okay.
Okay.
I get
it. So, hey, Marnie, Kristen, and guests, love the show. Very good advice without the stupid pickup lingo. I wanted to know if I could get your opinions on the topic of dating when it comes to me not wanting to have kids. In most, if not all societies, having children is status quo in the default choice for most people. I myself was also like that when I was little, wondering, for example, what to name my children, even though I hadn't even thought about the question of if I should have kids or not. Sometime in my mid-20s, probably gradually, I decided it was not for me. And he's 30 now, just letting you know. Does me not wanting to have kids or being negative to having kids pose serious problems with women? I'm looking for a serious relationship, though also open to other arrangements. I want to know if you have some thoughts around these topics, and we'll go through one at a time.
Yikes.
How early and in what kind of situation and in what way do I tell the woman I want to date or are dating about this?
Just say... My ex-girlfriend had like 10 abortions. That's just, I feel like you'll get the point across.
Yeah.
Where do we start?
You have 10 ghost babies.
Right.
I think you gotta, you got to talk about this pretty quickly, don't you think?
Yeah, because then you just waste each other's
time. You're wasting
the
girl's time. Yeah. You can't be doing that.
Yeah, I mean,
but then you're also assuming that she wants to have kids.
I had a buddy, my buddy Brandon, dated this girl for over 5 years. And, you know, a lot of times this happens. A lot of times you date someone and they could change their mind on this. They may, maybe a lot of times women just never dated a guy that they feel like, oh, oh my God, I could see him being the father of my children.
Yeah. Right.
People change their mind. But this girl that he was dating for years didn't change her mind. And he, not that he wasted time, but he spent probably.
She didn't want kids.
She did not want kids. And I think he, you could argue he wasted like 32 to 37.
Yeah,
with a good
yeah, those
a good,
are your prime sperm.
You may have all all expectations.
I always call that my prime spermo years, 32 to 37.
Super spermo years. You may have the greatest intentions of having kids and things like that, but before you know it, life could pass you by, and the timing never seemed right. And you may feel like, oh, I thought I was always going to be a dad or a kid person, and then you realize it just wasn't cut out for you. It just didn't happen. It wasn't in your cards, and that's just life. And I think people need to accept that sometimes. But what I don't like, and I think it was a key part of what you read there, was the negative attitude. Yeah. I was talking to a girl just this weekend, and she said, "Ugh, kids, I hate kids." Automatically, I'm like, "You horrible person." Yeah. If I had intentions of being with her, she just ruined all of them because it was the negative.
Or you could say, she'll never have your kids, so that's safety.
Right.
Right. But like, I say I hate kids, but I like kids that are in my family.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
No,
like,
of course.
Like, oh, I fucking hate
like Noah.
Kids. Yeah, and I like Noah. Like, I like kids that I know, but just kids as in general.
Yeah.
I look at them more as like a swarm of bees. Like, why would anyone like that?
Like, get that.
But an individual. But an individual bee, they might be great, you know, because you
get to know
them,
and it's not going to sting you.
It stops buzzing so much.
Here's the thing. I have a six-year-old, right? And she's my life. She's my everything. And what I realized in relationships, you always have the conversation of, do you want kids? Me too. Okay, great. You're on the same page. But no one ever extends the conversation one step further, and that is, well, how many? Because I want another kid. You know, and so does my wife, I think, you know, but
you think?
She's a little more
reluctant. Have you met your wife before?
She's more reluctant than I am right now. You know, sometimes she's like, yes, and other times,
career-wise. I would say that's you being a bad communicator because you marry a girl and you didn't have the conversation. How many kids?
You didn't let me finish this, bozo. So what I'm saying is, you know, careers could get in the way, jobs could get in the way, and maybe it's just not the right time again. But that is something that really has to be discussed because it's not. It's just, do you want kids? Yes. Okay, me too. You have to discuss, well, how many are you thinking? Because
yeah, but that's also in an ideal world. Like my husband and I had lots of conversations about that stuff, but when it came down to it, the roles actually flipped, where he was like, "Let's have children," and I was like, "No, I'm 10 years younger than him," and I was like, "Let's slow it down, let's wait a little bit longer," and then you know, same thing to start trying again. So it shifted, not the way that we thought it would have happened based on our conversations in the very beginning. So I agree with you about having the broader conversation, but it does. It changes. It can change.
And things do change, absolutely. And the one thing, too, though, is, you know, like I said before, kids, not for everybody.
Right.
I get that. But you also can't compare your pets to kids. And I think that's the mistake a lot of people make. And you're going to get an eye roll from an honest guy like me. You know, if I'm showing you a picture of your kid.
I'm
going to
start crying.
No, I'm sorry. I love animals. I'm an animal lover.
I get it.
But then
someone whips out a picture of their dog. It's
like,
oh, well, look at
break.
My kid. Yeah,
like my dog just died. Guess what? I was sad about it. But, you know, it's much different than if your kid.
Yeah, of course.
That dog
can eventually like move on and then earn you money. But you know what I mean?
Yes, exactly.
Thank you very much.
But the main question that he has here is, when do I tell a woman? I would say, like, you know, as you were saying, like, as soon as possible. You don't have to say, like, listen, I don't want to have kids. But you can start having conversations that are in that direction.
I don't think you let someone fall for you.
No, I don't.
Yeah,
I mean,
you have to cut it off.
Bringing that up.
Imagine you and I were hanging out, right? And we hung out one time. What a great date. Oh, we're going to see each other again. And now we're at the stage where we're having great sex. We're going out on these little adventures, having fun. And then we're like, oh my God, we're falling for each other. And then I'm like, by the way, don't want kids.
Yeah.
That will crush a woman.
Well, I think there's
Or a guy, the opposite way around. Like, oh my God, guys, I met the woman of my dreams.
You can't
but
finesse
at the same
it, though.
Time, like, do you say that on the second date? You're like having ice cream, talking about like stupid shit, like The Bachelorette, which is amazing, by the way.
Well, I think,
and you just say, by the way,
I think there are ways because I've been kind of seeing this kid. And
this kid.
He kind of feels like a kid because he wears like a hat all the time.
No offense. That's okay.
But he said early on, and I mean, we've only gone out with each other three times.
He carries a lunchbox.
Yeah. I'm on the sexual predator registry, but he's worth it. I'm like, does a kid want kids? That's what I asked him. But he basically said
last week in health class, he learned about condoms.
Yeah. So he said something like, "Oh, I don't like kids." Or he wrote, no, in a text, he wrote, "Kids dogs and then did the greater sign toward dogs. And so it's like a way to kind of, I think, I don't know if he's like giving off hints on purpose, but I was like, oh, I picked up on that. It doesn't mean that he doesn't want kids, but it was a little bit of an indicator to me. And I wouldn't bring it up like tonight, we're going to hang out tonight. It's our fourth time we're hanging out. We're very casual. And I don't think it's appropriate quite yet, but but if I was a person looking for something much more serious right now, I would bring it up. I just got out of an 8-year relationship last month. So right now I'm not.
So she's only dating kids right now.
I'm only dating babies.
You can't bring it up that, that soon.
It also depends. Okay, so I would say it depends on the age of the person and exactly
what
it is that
they're
looking
for. But I will say this. If he didn't want kids, I would probably move on. I would enjoy hanging out with him, but it would be something for me that was a deal breaker. But there are women that don't want kids.
Yeah. Well, so it actually leads me to the next question, which is, do some places or situations have a bigger percentage of women who could be open for a possible relationship with little or no chance of future children? Where do I meet other women like me?
I think he needs to, it sounds mean, but like older women that ship has sailed.
Like that if they this, have if had this, kids
if
already?
This guy, listen, I'm 37. If I were single, realistically, guys like to date a little younger than them, right?
Yeah.
Maybe he needs to date women that are his age or a little older. Maybe like maybe a 40-year-old businesswoman that says, you know, I've never wanted kids. I don't want kids. You could find them. Maybe develop an app, Marnie.
I should. But you know, there's that
people are dating.
Just look for
be.
The saddest woman on the street.
Or the happiest.
That's true.
The happiest. I don't want kids and I'll never have them. Yeah. They must be like living in bliss. But there's like a farmer's website out there for farmers dating. I'm pretty sure there are websites and apps that already exist out there that have other people who do not want to have children.
Before you met your guy, you were on farmersonly.com, right?
Absolutely. It's a great website.
She loves kale
and if you need to have, yeah,
so
exactly.
Out.
I like growing organic vegetables. I was very into it. But I would say there's definitely that information out there. So here's my advice in terms of sharing that information. Like, I love everything that you guys said. I think as soon as you start to feel like there is something a little bit more serious potentially that could happen, I would bring it up. And it's not like a Debbie Downer conversation. It's a, hey, I just wanted you to know this just in case potentially this does go somewhere, but here's my view on things, and just so you know, this is not going to change.
Yeah, but with the right person, it can change. You know, how many times do people say, I'm not looking for a relationship? It's because you're not with the right person. You haven't found the right person. The right person will make you change your mind, and that could, I'm not saying it will, but it could happen if you love that person in that way.
Hold on, let me ask you.
Would you
is there a guy that's so perfect that even if he didn't want to have kids, you would think about it?
My aunt phrased this to me before. She said something like, if you didn't get anything else out of life, but you stayed with this person, would that make you happy? And I said no, because that wasn't the right person. So I don't really know how I'd probably say no.
Because I have a buddy who's in his mid-30s, and he's dating a girl that's 2 years older. He's 35. She's 37. She doesn't want kids. And his whole life, he's always pictured being a dad one day. And I said, before you keep getting more serious, I want you to make sure, you know, friend to friend, you are open to the possibility of not having children.
Well, I know my aunt married a guy who didn't want kids, and she kind of wanted kids, and now they're 55 or so, and they don't have kids, and they're semi-miserable. I mean, they're fine. They live in like
they're kind of weird, right? I mean, only because weird.
How many cats do they have?
They have zero animals.
Oh. Okay, well, that's good.
But they're kind of like they enjoy like really fine food and like spending their money on like really nice cars, and so like they're.
You know what though? At that age, and Rich and I know a lot of people like this. For whatever reason, you do get a little weird. Whether or not cats are involved, that's one thing. But
children.
You become even more and more self-consumed, and you don't have a lot in common with other people your age because your life is solely revolving around you.
Right.
And as you get older, that's kind of a lonely, sort of weird way to be.
Think of this. You're a successful woman. You and your guy together. Imagine. I thought about this recently. I don't have kids. If I never had kids, because in the back of your mind, everything you sort of plot out is for kids. Like, oh, where do I want to live one day? What house do I want to get? What school district? Everything you're sort of saving for or plotting for is for your future family. So imagine if it was just you and one other person with nothing else to worry about. It's sort of amazing and crazy and weird all at the same time.
Well, like, that sounds like a dream. I'll be honest with you, and I don't really know if I've talked about this a lot on the show, but I have a child. He's absolutely amazing. I would never give him away.
Give him away.
Yeah.
As if that's like an option.
Right. I mean, it could be. But like, my life was pretty fun before, and it was amazing. And my husband is 10 years older than I am, and our group of friends still does really fun things, and we have lots of single friends, and I think they're going to continue to be single. And I think we could have had a wonderful life without children. I'm sure I would have said, I should have had kids. And like when I hang around with other families and stuff, I probably would have questioned it and wanted it. But I think I would have been okay. Like, and I'm a friendly person. I don't need my kid to come visit me in the old folks home. Like, I'm going to make friends when I'm there. I moved 5,000 miles away from my mom. So like, she doesn't have me when she gets really old. Like,
right.
She's got, so I think it would be okay. I think a lot of people are now doing this and they're not choosing to have families.
Right.
But I will say there is a part of me where it's like, I've always thought I was going to have a family. So that would always be in the back of my mind.
I just want a kid so I can see what I look like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, like, think about it.
How are my genetics?
You love yourself and the person you love and combining those two. Like, I wonder what would happen.
You got ahead of yourself. I did not say I love myself. I'm just curious what my DNA would look like.
She hates herself. Just wants to know what it looks like.
No, but I'll tell you what an egomaniac would think, because that's us. How many awesome versions of myself can I make?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, is my kid, like I want to see if my kid is like cool, like hot, cool eyes, or like,
yeah, like how do I make you cool? Honestly, that's what we talk about. Probably talk about all the time. Like, that's where the pride comes from. Is like just watching them do things. We were on the beach last weekend, and we were just reminiscing about our days in Venice when we were like single. We're like, oh, that was awesome. And he's like, but I honestly think that this moment now, just watching him like stand in the sand, I get a better feeling from this than any time when we used to be free on the beach in Venice. And like those individual moments and those, like,
sure,
like, those feelings is so fulfilling. But I mean, going and doing what you want during the day, whenever you want to go do it, and possibly going on a trip whenever you want to is also a fantastic feeling.
Absolutely.
How come you didn't make fun of her? If I said my days in Venice, you would have jumped on me.
My
days in Venice.
You say Venice. Venice. Barcelona.
Can I ask you one more thing about this, though? Do you think our generation
Venice Beach,
way
not
different?
Venice.
Yeah, there you go. Big
exactly.
Way different than our parents, meaning if your parents' generation had that single friend, they were a little weird. I have so many single friends that are ranging from 30 to 40-something that they're not single, like not married. They're not in a relationship.
Yeah.
So I think as time goes on, you know, the people that are married with kids are going to have a ton of friends that are just straight up single.
I think so, too. I have a lot of single friends.
My brother's 40 and single. And
he's probably having a fine time.
Yeah,
but there are other people who are having a fine time.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many different choices.
But kids can keep you together, too. Like, my parents hate each other, but they have us, so we've kept them together.
You know? You moved away. You're such a horrible child. Okay, one final question from this guy, whose name I don't know. He said, with kind regards, me. Is it possible to persuade the women who are not really sure or haven't thought much on the issue, or will that at some point end
the relationship? That's creepy to persuade them. Let them find what they want. Don't, I mean, you can lay out like little breadcrumbs that you don't want them, but don't. I don't think skewing someone, that's a little culty sounding.
Yeah, I actually agree with you. Yeah.
I think you can talk to them about, I mean,
the pros and cons or benefits. Yeah,
yeah,
sure.
But you don't. Yeah, I wouldn't say the word persuade is the best thing, but you potentially could shift a person's way of thinking. I know a lot of women who are in relationships with guys where this has been brought up, where they're like, oh, wait, you don't want to have kids? And they're 6 months deep into a relationship and like they're thinking, oh, you said that before, but I thought you were kind of joking about it, or like what you said, that it could possibly change. And then they had to be faced with the fact that, okay, do I love this person enough for it to just be he and I for the rest of our lives? And that's been challenging. And a couple of them have switched their point of view. And a couple of them have stayed as, you know, deciding not wanting to have kids. So it's possible to not persuade, but to possibly alter a person's opinion.
I'll say, why bring kids into the mix at all? How about just express the fact that you're a good family guy? Like, for example, you know, my wife thought I was the biggest scumbag ever. She thought I was a sleazy ass chasing.
She's a good guy.
Like
she's a good reader of people.
Yeah. Like, this guy's a scumbag, you know. But to win her over, I let her in on a side that, you know, she didn't know about. That I love my mother.
Yeah, like a vulnerable side.
That I'm a mama's boy. That
you are
my mom.
That stuff is cute.
I love my dad. I have sisters. I have a brother. You know, I love going home and spending time with them. That I really do enjoy spending time with them. So without saying, I want to have a big family and let's have kids, I barely know you, I let it be known that, you know, I am a family guy, and there's this side to me. And either you're going to like
that. How did you let her know? What were your reactions?
By constantly talking about my family and how much they mean to me.
And then you just got her pregnant.
And then I just got her pregnant. that's
true. You know. True story.
But you don't
and then
have
you poked
to,
a hole in the condom.
You could be pushing someone away.
You're like,
he's not wearing those.
You could be pushing. I don't wear those. Those are for amateurs. You could be pushing people away if you're bringing that sort of thing up. But if you let them know that family is a priority, then you're saying it without saying it.
Yeah. Know? No, so. I agree. We've talked about storytelling all the time, like how you could express so many things about yourself by telling a story. And there's a lot of people, we were talking about pickup artists before we went on the air, but, you know, there's a lot of stories that are told by pickup artists that are carefully crafted to provide certain feelings to women right away. But if they're sincere and honest and authentic, they are definitely helpful tools to let somebody know a lot of things without saying it directly.
One of the first guys I went out with after breaking up, he had just tons of pictures of his family. And you could see on Facebook, they all comment on each other's. Their mom comments, and then the sisters comment back, and like the dad, like, you know, that was like, oh, wow, that's really, really cool.
Yeah. But then you know something about them. They're showing you visually.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad that we got to talk about that one for about 16 minutes.
See, I know.
That's why it's called overanalyze this. We do this every single time.
Okay, we did it.
Here is the next question. Hey there. There's this girl that I like at the workplace, but I don't know if she likes me or if she's being nice. Because one time she gave me candy and then a high five two times.
She likes kids too.
Exactly. I don't know what to talk to her about. And I know she'll reject me like others did before. And I'm not confident at all. I really have no hope for the future, and I have competition around me a lot. Dan, what do I do?
Love negative Norberto.
Jesus.
Just saying.
Just keep eating candy. Give yourself some pleasure.
Yeah, exactly. So what is it? What? Okay.
She gave him candy. Right, that was the big thing, right?
And two high fives, not just two, one. Oh, like two shit! High fives.
Yeah, this girl doesn't like you.
Yeah, like, I'm gonna back you up on that.
Candy's kind of like a gesture to kind of get away. Yeah, and the high fives are like, get away,
like,
again.
Don't touch me anywhere.
They weren't candy. They were breath mints, buddy. Get the hint.
Yeah, right.
No. I think a great indicator, at least, you know, what always worked for me is always eye contact, and I feel like women get a little feely and comfortable, like they let it be known. Like, if a woman likes you, I don't think there's any secret there. She's going to touch the back of your arm. She's going to rub her boobs on your back. Women know what they're doing.
Who are you meeting?
Like he said at the office place. Like, he might be at his computer. She might a little lean over. On, yeah. There'll be a little body contact.
What if your boobs can't reach?
Honestly,
right. I'm all the way in.
But there's
the high
contact.
Five. The high five
contact.
Is.
If
the
they
most...
don't like you, they won't make contact.
What, is there anything?
That's absolutely true. So there's a kid that he's a super nice guy. I know him, and he found out that I broke up with my boyfriend, and he's just, you know, texting me like, you want to hang out?
I'm sure so many guys are doing that now.
A little bit, but he's like, do you want to hang out? Let me know if you need any help. Blah blah blah. And he should know by my text, because my text, I'm not mean. I'm nice, and that's when it means that she doesn't like you, when she's nice.
Explain that a little bit more for people who are listening.
Very polite. Thank you. I really appreciate it. You know,
there's
I'll talk to you soon.
Nothing flirty.
Nothing. Like, no emotion. None.
What this guy's saying in his email, in his text to you or whatever it was, he's saying there's nothing more asexual than a high five.
There really isn't.
Like, if
except me. I'm the only thing more asexual.
If you were single and you met a girl and she's like, and you're feeling her and she's like, yeah. Goes to give you a high five, you'd be like, oh man,
yeah,
high five.
You guys, if she gives you a high five, maybe like after you guys just made out or something, or
that's different.
I mean, that's something that I would do. Yeah,
yeah,
it's playful. It's a playful high five. But if you're just in the office and she's like, hey, high five.
Well, what about some general guidelines for people like Dan who are just like, how do I tell if this girl's into me? Like, is it important to start thinking like, okay, well, she did this, she did that, she gave me that sign. Is that like a waste of time to focus on those?
I think he needs to change his mindset and just assume that all the chicks want to be with him anyway. Mm. I think a lot of it starts from just thinking you're the man. You know,
he clearly didn't think.
How do you change it? Well, because, okay, so the episode before this, Christian wasn't here, but we had this guy, PJ, who was in it. It's so funny because he had lived in New York for all of his life, and he's like, I was the king there. I just thought everybody wanted me. Moving to Los Angeles has been a huge blow for his ego, not because he's tried and failed, but because in his mind, he doesn't have his social circle. He doesn't have his confidence. And
right.
He's like, honestly, I was in New York 10 or a New York 9, I'm a Los Angeles 3. Like all these negative things that he was telling himself. And he would say when he sees women, he's like, I don't know if they're smiling at me to be nice or they're smiling at me because I want them. But either way, I don't do anything about it. And I was talking to him about changing his
mindset.
If a
woman smiles at you, jump on it, because it doesn't happen that often.
Eye contact is huge. Yeah. I feel like you're absolutely
100%
right.
I want to hear more about the mindset stuff.
I'll scour, you scour the room. If you get eye contact back, it's obvious when you're looking at an attractive woman and she doesn't look back at you. I mean, anyone that doesn't get guys that don't get the message, I don't understand. Because you could, even at the gym, let's say, I'm not saying that's a great place to pick someone up, but if you make eye contact with someone, right, if they're going to make eye contact back with you or not. It's either going to be a smile back or they're going to blatantly not even look in your direction.
Yeah. What if it's eye contact while you're creepily staring at them through the mirror? Does that count?
Oh, yeah, it does count.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good one. Enough.
But I want to hear more about mindset. Like, how do you actually change your mindset?
I don't know if you can. I mean, but you could try. I think it comes from a set of confidence that you
comes
got.
Comes from self-worth. If you it sounds ego-driven, but I used to think.
It has to be.
I used to think that. Anyone that would reject me in a mean way. This could be people that are just not going to like me. This could be people that are not going to like you.
What?
But I always said, if I went up to someone, if they gave me the cold shoulder or were rude, they're missing out. I know I'm a nice guy. This guy should know. Hey, I'm a nice guy. My intentions are nice. I'm a gentleman. If this person is rude to me, like screw them.
Yeah,
was the mentality.
You have to believe it.
Do you
know?
You always felt that way? Or did you earn that?
I think you learn to be more confident. You learn that everyone's insecure. I'm sure you've discussed this on your show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Guys, see, from a woman perspective, you two are both beautiful women, right? So it's a little...
You can come back on the show.
It's a little it's a little trickier, I think, for beautiful women to understand. But guys put beautiful women on a pedestal sometimes where they forget, like, until you
just
see...
Just because they want to look up their skirt.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
We're saying put your penis on a pedestal, guys.
Yeah, your penis is worth something as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But until you see a woman getting ready to go out, until you see a woman being insecure, trying to pick out what outfit she's wearing, and I feel chubby today. Until you see a woman in her real element, guys think that all beautiful women are overly confident and unflawed. So I think,
and that's completely false.
And that's completely false. But then you got to look around the room and say, "See that beautiful woman over there? She is as insecure and nervous as I am, or you are, or anyone,
anybody else is." Yeah. Exactly. We all go to the bathroom. We all do embarrassing things, and we all get insecure and uncomfortable. One little thing that I wanted to talk about for mindset and for shifting mindset, because this is something that I actually went through. I used to be very insecure, very shy, very anxious. I put myself down on a constant basis. So even I'll go back to the PJ episode, but I was talking to him about switching the way that he believes things and he talks about things, and it's an exercise that I have that's called reframing. Okay. So the first step to reframing is just taking notice of the fact that you're speaking harshly and negatively about yourself, whether it's in your own mind or out loud to other people. And with reframing, you're literally reframing whatever it is that you think or whatever it is that you say. So you can actually say, "Oh yeah, I'm really horrible at that." You put that out of your mouth and then you catch yourself because you notice it and you say, "You know what? Let me take that back. I'm not good at it right now, I'm working on it."
I think something good for people to do is to call, if you have a friend that does that, kind of call them out on it.
Yeah, just be like, "Dude."
That kid that I mentioned that I'm kind of seeing, I posted a picture on Instagram and he wrote, and the caption was very self-deprecating, but the picture was like kind of a pretty picture. And he wrote, "I love that picture of you on Instagram, but I'm not liking it." And I wrote, "Why?" And he wrote, "Because of the caption, because it was self-deprecating."
Right.
And I thought that was cool because he was calling me out on it. And
I like this guy.
Yeah.
This kid knows what he's doing.
Yeah. Growing up little boy.
I feel like guys need to believe the stuff that they're saying. I feel like there's a lot of guys like this guy in the email who isn't where he needs to be in life, and they use that as a crutch or an excuse to not pursue what they want.
Yeah.
We have friends like that, like, "Oh, I don't have the place that I want," or "I'm not at the job I want," or "I'm not at the weight that I want to be at, and so I'm gonna wait.
I'm gonna put dating on hold."
And I'll tell you what, man, I made an ass career out of selling girls on my goals and my true belief, even though I was living in my parents' basement, of where I was going and what I was going to do. And who knew, you know, what I was going to do, but I really did believe it. And if you're that confident, and you might even say delusional, it doesn't matter, but if your work ethic backs it up, then anything's possible. If you believe that you're going to do this, and I'm going to have this house, and I'm going to be this guy, and I can't wait to do that, and you sell women on your goals, I think that, you know, there's no girl that's out of your league.
Believe in leagues.
I was dating beautiful, successful women. I shit you not, living in my parents' basement.
Tell me more about this.
Because they truly believed the bullshit, and it wasn't bullshit, but the stuff
they truly
believed
my lies.
No, because I believed my lies.
Yeah,
you understand?
They're not lies.
They're not lies.
You truly believed,
but you had to.
However, you want to perceive it, you know what I mean. But at the time, it was just my goal and hope. You know, there was nothing solid behind it.
And it's all a matter of how you're talking about the framing, right? And I think that's genius, because we have a friend, a listener of our radio show, and I remember having this conversation with him. His name is Mercer. He lives in Pennsylvania. He's like the nicest dude, right? And he's a successful chemist, and he's like, "Well, that's boring. Why would a woman want to hear about that?" I'm like, you can tell some interesting story at dinner about I was mixing these chemicals. I'm like, there's a way to angle and frame
everything.
But he went into the dating mindset.
I think date rape drugs. Like he has the best recipe for date rape.
If good stories doesn't work, then yes, that's the angle.
But I just felt like he was framing his whole scenario wrong.
Yeah. Well, that's what so many guys do that I work with, where they're like, what do I talk to women about? I like IT, video games, like all these things where I'm like, that, tell me about the TV shows you watch. Tell me about the video games you play. I think those are cool. So just open your mouth and be passionate about it.
You could, you said TV shows. Like, you could just bring up the simplest thing, like Game of Thrones or The Bachelorette. I mean, you could find something.
There's
you have in common, something to talk about.
Passion
goes
a long way.
Do you think that the attitude that you had when you were younger, and most likely every single one of us in this room did have that same attitude, maybe not Kristen.
I'll tell you what, though. What she's throwing out, I could see where that's appealing, though.
Because
because I, like right now, I'm like, she seems like lovely and awesome, but there's a slight part of her that's damaged. I know I could fix if I was single.
Oh my God, you should see all the guys onto this show who she's brought on.
Like I'm married. I'm married, and I want to fix her. I want to be like, let's.
Every guy is like that with her. But, like, I want to help you in some way.
Yeah, I know. I guess so many guys fall in that trap, though. She's cute on Instagram.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like,
it was true. It was true. It was. I basically said it was like stupid. Like I looked like bummed, and I was like, when you're going to audition and you know you're not going to get it. And it's true. I never book anything.
But
so it's not like
funny, though, at least.
Exactly, yeah. It wasn't like I was getting
like, I'm just saying, in 20 minutes of being here, what I'm guaranteeing guys are all into what she's putting out there. Because you're beautiful. You're quick and funny.
I love the show.
You're quick and funny, but at the same time, you're like, you every so often, you're like, I'm slightly damaged. Yeah. And it makes a guy be like, I will fix you immediately.
I could fuck you.
I will fuck you and fix you immediately.
That
perfect.
My question was, do you think that is something that can be learned, that type of belief system in yourself?
Learn through small goals and through...
You probably just had it. Right? Well, Your parents weren't telling you.
We say this all the time. This might be the dumbest thing you ever heard. But we always say that you build a lot of confidence in Little League. You know, these are all things that build
That's why I didn't get confidence. Because when I was like playing sports when I was 8 years old, all the coaches were mean to me and put me on the bench. And like, it sucked. It was awful.
Right. No.
So that's where...
You're talking about the reframing?
No, that's what I was just thinking. So I'm like, I can fix you.
You don't have to reframe when you have a good foundation. Yeah. So I was lucky enough to have a good foundation, right? But... there were times where I got kicked in the balls and I felt like shit and I was in a low place. Maybe I got dumped or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be. But that's when you have to pick yourself up, hit the gym. And those are small confidence builders, you know, things like that. And I feel like those go a long way and you can change your mindset. Absolutely. Everybody feels like a
Do you
like
think later in life you can get those same experience? Like, should guys join a Little League team?
Yes, they would play so much better than the eight-year-olds. Little League framed it. What he said, and I agree with what he's saying, because the Little League theory is interesting, because if you're good at Little League, you get confidence, right?
Yeah.
But if you're not, then it's forcing you to find a place. So if you're the kid in Little League that's not good, but you're like, all right, if I'm the funny guy on the team, all right, as long as I'm telling jokes, everyone's laughing, I don't need to be good.
Right.
I'm the funny guy on the team. Then if you're totally terrible, then that might be when you say, yeah, I'm going to try to learn how to play the guitar.
Right.
Right. It's such a great lesson. It's a great learning system for you know young boys, and I think that's where you gain
confidence,
your confidence
foundation.
What you're saying about the framing, I know it's a little cultish of a book, but sort of like The Secret, if you really think about it. Like people say, there's two ways to say everything. Don't forget to do that, or can you please remember to that? It's there's negative and positive way to present everything.
Change your mindset. Yeah. I realize I complain a lot. And I said recently, you know, I got to stop complaining. You know, you got to stop complaining. So you could
Because you're reinforcing it to yourself as well. So you, like, I just say it's bad PR for everybody. You're doing bad PR for yourself because you're like literally telling yourself, I'm not good. Like you yourself are saying this, so it must be true because it's coming out of your mouth. And then you're telling other people as well.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just like bad
just
PR all around completely. So it's no good. So yeah, reframing is a great exercise. And I love everything that you're saying about the fact that you can gain confidence with slow moves over time, whether you are an 8-year-old or I think you there's many things that you can do later on in life to build that same level of
absolutely.
Well, and don't you also want to be around happy people that are just
I love how he looked over at you.
Fun to be around. No, because you know, as you're reentering
happy people like me.
The dating world is that we look at it this way. Every time we've hired someone for our show or an intern or anything, you know, people come in with resumes and shticks and here's my CD, here's my this, here's my demo. The number one thing I always think, and you think the same, is do I want to hang out with this person every day?
Right. Yep.
That trumps everything. You want to be around people, and that translates to dating as well. Someone could come in and seem like Prince Charming on paper, but when you're sitting there, you got to say, do I want to be around this person every day? And, you know, that applies for everything.
Well, back to Rich's
Stop touching.
Secret thing.
Stop caressing me.
You're my pal. Rich and I did an experiment, a few times. you know, we did this. We read it, I think, in The Secret. It was one of those Neil Strauss tactics from back in the day. And mm-hmm. it did actually work, even though I don't necessarily condone all that stuff. If you act like you're having the best time in the room, even if you're not, you will draw positive attention.
It's the funniest social experiment. You can take a couple of your buddies or girlfriends, go to the bar. If you're at the bar and everyone else is sort of a little subdued, if you guys like, belly laughs,
people
like,
clever, like, hey, what's going on?
Guys will be like, what's going on? And girls will be like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, those are the tables I always looked at restaurants. Now, why are they having so much fun? I want to be a part of whatever they're talking about.
So now if it's genuine, then people are going to gravitate toward you. So my advice for this guy is to, you know, you can sort of shift that sort of mindset. Bring some of the fun to the room. You know, be the funny guy and just act like you got the biggest hog in your pants.
Yeah, exactly. See, when I
see a table laughing, I just assume they're all making fun of me. Like, that's where your brain goes.
No.
But I have been doing this now that I'm trying to date. I've been trying to be more like positive and fun so they don't see that I'm like the worst. You know, like I'm really trying to change my I'm trying to make things not sound so downer.
Right.
I'm really working hard.
But you had 8 years of practice. You were probably in a more down place. So I understand how it's like more challenging to get to that place.
But I'm trying to reframe, you're
actively doing it.
What's the down place? Like heartbreak? Is this the whole thing?
Oh, the 8 year thing?
Yeah.
Oh, it was just a really negative relationship.
It sucked, basically. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, that'll suck the energy out of you.
Yeah, it will. Really will. It's a mojo killer for sure.
Yeah, even Trisha was saying, she's like, it's a whole new person that walks into this room. It honestly is. Since you have decided to make this move, it's like it's a complete 180.
Yeah.
So it's fantastic. Okay, we're going to take a small break, and then we'll be back to overanalyze more.
Thanks for listening to Playboy Radio. If you want to hear more, catch us on TuneIn.com/Playboy. We promise you won't be disappointed.
Want advice and step-by-step instructions on how to get the girl sent right into your mailbox every single day? Then sign up for your free Wing Girl Method newsletter at winggirlmethod.com/advice. When you sign up, you'll also get a free copy of my best-selling book, 10 Devastating Mistakes Men Make with Women and How to Avoid Them. Go to winggirlmethod.com/advice and sign up now.
Hey, this is Justin Willman, comedian and magician.
It's your girl, Carly Rae from Love & Hip Hop Atlanta, the movie Top 5.
Hey, this is Dr. Buck Parker from NBC's The Island. You're listening to Playboy Radio.
Playboy Radio.
PlayboyRadio.com.
The only station to listen to.
Thanks for listening to PlayboyRadio.com. Now, back to the show.
That makes sense.
Hey, guys, we're back. As you imagined, we were chatting like crazy during the break.
Right, exactly. Just covered 12 different topics in 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I want to get to the next question. I love your podcast, and I like Marnie's website and all the resources. I always leave in the good compliments. Because why not? Everybody should know how awesome we are.
I agree.
Yes.
Pat yourself on the back.
That's the best part about it.
Yes.
I'm reframing and I'm
this
telling myself.
This is the only reason we do questions.
Right,
just
exactly.
To get the compliments.
Exactly.
It's like retweeting when someone says something nice about you.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
Why would you not?
Why wouldn't I show other people?
I love you
people?
So much. Retweet.
Exactly. I do have a question that I'm not sure if you cover, but hoping you do. I've been married for 7 years, and my wife and I have not had sex for the past 2 years. Pathetic, right? My question to you is, what do you do when sex disappears in a marriage, and how do you find it again?
2 years.
That's a long time. I was in a shit show of a relationship, and it wasn't even 2 years for us.
What, really?
Yeah. I mean, it was this guy, there,
but it was close.
No, this guy, El Wapo, once told me, if you want the woman,
you take the woman.
Wow.
I've quoted this before.
I
on
mean,
the show.
You guys, it was El Guapo or the other guy?
It was El Guapo. He said it.
Yeah.
Oh, no. He says it.
He says
to El Guapo.
Yeah.
Oh,
right. Yeah. It was.
This is from the Three Amigos, right?
Three Amigos, yes.
Hefe. Yes. I mean, this guy, he's got to be ashamed of himself. I understand that things happen.
It's my favorite movie
of
all time.
And we all have lulls, by the way. You know, I'm not saying, hey, dude, I lay it down every night. I'm the last guy. And plus, I'm lazy. Right. But, I mean, you have to take a bit of accountability here, right? 2 years? How is that? There's no excuse for that.
If he said 2 months, we'd all say.
Right, okay.
Things happen, and you go through differences and ups and downs.
Two years.
Just, I guess he's asking how to get out of it. We could mock him and say, 2 years.
But what do you think is actually going on here? Because I will tell you, this is a very common story.
You know, every relationship I've ever been in that failed, sex always stopped, and that's because their mind was elsewhere. And whether that was on another dude's wiener or whatever the case was, it wasn't with that guy. She's unhappy in the relationship, period, bottom line.
Yeah.
So he has to fix that or get out because he's going to get hurt and she's going to end up cheating
I should have known for me that when I stopped wanting to have sex with my boyfriend, I should have just left then. But yeah. I let it go on way too long.
Yeah, and the girl's never going to admit it. She's never going to be like, right. Yeah, there's another dude. And then you find out later on.
I don't know if it's always about another dude.
No, it's not about another dude.
I would say most often it's not about another dude.
Well, then it has to do with everything about her being unhappy in this relationship and unsatisfied.
So then what
absolutely.
Does he do?
So
because I would say, like, what do you do when the sex out of the relationship? Like, you go find it. But you figure it's buried underneath the sex. It has nothing to do with sex.
You're asking, like, an age-old question. Like, how do you recreate a spark, you know, and that's almost impossible to do. But there are things you can do, you know, and that's just communicate. That's
you can't
the first
start a fire without a spark.
No, you can't.
Well, what would you advise to a guy? Like, how does he actually go and communicate? So after 2 years, there's a lot of shit that's going on. There's a lot of frustration, tension. There's things she's angry about.
Let's back it up for a second. If you're in a two year slump,
that's really stupid.
Are we assuming it's physical? Meaning, did someone let themselves go? Because my vain guy perspective is like, maybe this guy got fat. His wife doesn't want to have sex with him anymore. I know that. My vanity, I think this sounds terrible.
Trim your ball hair.
But maybe this guy's got gross balls.
Trim the huevos.
I don't know what's going on, but I know that it sounds terrible. But when I've gone through slumps with girls, I've never said, I'm going to go somewhere else. But I let it be known that this is sort of not what we were in the beginning or what we.
I will say something. Maybe this isn't 100% for every single woman in the world. Like, my husband has gone up and down in weight. He has hairy balls sometimes, not hairy balls sometimes. Like, he's got a lot of things that are pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
But when I'm in love with him, like, I don't, those things don't bother me. When I'm bothered and annoyed with him, they bother me.
Yeah.
Good point.
I'm angry about something else, they bother me.
Right.
Is that the difference between men and women, or is that just the difference between
her
and I?
Men have balls, women don't.
No, but I'm saying,
when my balls are hairy, he's fine with it too.
When you've had, I call them sexual standoffs, where, like, sometimes, you know, a week or so will go by and you're just not clicking, or maybe longer for people. You know, I feel like those sexual standoffs could sometimes be physical. I don't know. Like, you're just
I agree with you as well, because it depends on what their belief system is about who should initiate or whatever's going on. And, like, if a woman's not feeling so good about herself and he's not initiating, then she's, like, waiting for him to initiate. And a lot of women are not vocal about those things to say, like, when are you going to have sex? Like, I want to have sex.
Yeah, you got to analyze where you're going wrong. I'll give you a personal story. I remember one of the last times my wife and I were having, as I call them, the sexual standoffs. There were two problems. Problem one was that she, you know, I'll tell you her problem first. I was the bigger problem. I was not initiating, or I was not doing any of the little things. The little things that guys do in the beginning.
Can I give advice to back that up?
Yeah.
Stop masturbating, guys, because you're taking away your own urges of passion and desire.
Yeah. If you're in a sexual slump, don't jerk off a lot.
Yeah.
Because if you're saying, we're not getting, and you're really just doing that, like, every day, honestly, give yourself a little extra urge. Stop for a few weeks, and
right,
then you'll really have that desire. But I was not doing the little things. I was not being romantic. I was not coming on to her. I was not making the moves or anything. But on the flip side, I was telling her, every time I would come home or see her, she would already be in, like, yoga pants with her hair in a bun and her makeup was off. And I said, you know, you're not giving me anything and I'm not giving you anything. And we're having a standoff.
Yeah.
It was like yoga pants and hair in a bun versus me not trying. And that,
right,
you know, that ends in no bueno.
So, but you did say something, which I think is
fantastic.
Yeah,
we talked about it.
The important piece here, I think, for whatever scenario happens.
Yeah, 2 year standoff.
A 2 year standoff, I think.
There's a lot of things that
are
going on. But communication is the key for whatever level this gets to. So I like that you finally did say something. Like, yeah, you're wearing your yoga pants and I'm just not turned on to flirt with you. So what are we going to do about it?
Exactly.
Like, how, so this show is mainly for guys. Like, how does a guy, if there is something that's been going on for 2 years, and obviously it's been going on for longer, the 2 years is just the slump that he's been in with, there's been no sex. I'm sure a lot of the things have been built up for a lot longer.
Yeah, that's
than
not
that.
A slump. He got sent down to the
to
the
me,
minors.
I just think they have to get a divorce.
Do you think so?
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I think...
No, but why not talk to somebody first, though?
You can talk to somebody first.
But what about talking
to
your significant other?
Well, of course, do that first, and then if that doesn't work, go to another person. But then I just think that there are so many things at that point that you're just not in love with each other anymore.
Yeah, but I believe that can come back.
I think that changed. Honestly, there's so many things that get manifested into this bigger picture of all of these things that build up that, honestly, if you just got one of your needs met for, like, a month.
Yeah, it's like a domino effect.
I'm with you.
These they're very positive. I think
sometimes
Kenny Rogers, you got to know when to fold them, know when to hold them, know when to walk away. Some people just think... There's people that are
it's
way
easier
too,
to stay together and not
some people
do anything
think,
about it.
Some people leave too quickly. But then I think there's other people that are like, it could be fixed. It could be fixed. And some things just can't be fixed. It could be over. He could say, listen, I'm not feeling it. Maybe she's not feeling it. And
but that's an odd way to look at things when life goes through cycles. You change constantly.
Mm-hmm.
So who's to say you're not going to change to the person that's better for her, you change in a similar way that works in the future. Meanwhile, you folded them, and it could have worked, and you're trading her problems for someone else's.
I think there's like a realistic timeline, though. Like, 2 years is a long time. I think if it was 6 months or maybe a year, but 2 years,
I agree.
It's going to be 3 years, and it's going to be 4 years.
There's a lot of resentment, but why not talk to somebody?
Would you stay in your marriage regardless?
No, 2 years? No, but I would address it. You know, what's on the line here? I wouldn't stay in the relationship for a kid, but does he have a kid? Do they own a home? These are all things that are important. You know, I don't know what he has with this woman, right? But these are all reasons. These are all reasons to at least maybe reconsider, are there other options before calling it quits? Yeah. You know, people are real quick to jump. That's why I say this. But yeah, there's a clear problem.
I know, right, exactly. Well, so tell me about like what open communication looks like. Like, how would you approach that conversation with...
Well, I'd imagine they're not communicating very well right now since they've had a 2-year standoff. So,
eventually it's going to be a standoff with actual guns with these two.
I could suggest like a heartfelt, like, you know, babe, I want this to work, and we're so far apart right now. Let's work on this together. He could, you know, really have a heartfelt conversation with her. But if she's not receptive, then I don't know where he would go, right? Because she might. You always say this, Kavina. Sometimes a woman checks out, sometimes
it's so hard to bring
like
him
a guy
back.
Will continue to fight for some dumb reason. Like, I'm going to get her back.
Right.
We've all been there with
because
a girl.
Because they don't realize how serious it is until it's
too late.
Guys are always the last to stupidly know.
And I think girls do hold on to emotions a lot longer and harder and stronger than men do. Mm-hmm. Like, there were things from my relationship that he did the first 6 months that I'm still thinking about now. I can't let that shit go.
Right.
You know? I understand that. And the thing is, so this is what I know about my own communication and about, you know, I've interviewed like 6,000 women now. So about like subtle communication from women. So I will tell David that most likely your wife has been subtly trying to communicate with you about what's going on for a very long time.
Absolutely.
Either she's telling you stories about friends of hers and what her husband's doing and how they're not fixing it, or she's putting you down there's subtle ways that she, in her own feminine way, it's not like trying to tippy toe around it. She's trying to show you examples of how other people are doing it and something that's not working in your own relationship. And if it falls on deaf ears for too long, then
women build resentment
and get shut up.
You know what though? I'm the perfect guy because I've made these mistakes over and over again because I'm dense or I'm in my own world. I don't know, but I'm the last guy to know, and it falls on deaf ears. Oh man, it's so tough, and I totally forgot what I was gonna say.
That's right. No, I'll save you. When you think about you would know best. Do women, would they be receptive? Do you think his wife would be receptive at all if he said, "Listen, I planned a little weekend getaway for us. I really want to see where things are at." Or I'm not saying buy her. But he could say, "Listen, I planned a little trip for us. I really feel like we need to get on the same page and connect."
It depends where she's at in her anger. Yeah. So where she's like.
If she hates him right now and she's like, ugh, I have to go spend the fucking weekend with you now, just the two of us. Or if she's really like, really wanting things to change. Yes, I've been waiting for this moment. So it just depends on you.
Yeah. I know where I was going. And guys will say, well, what could I do? Right. And women also will always say, well, you know, you're not doing these little things or whatever. Whatever these little things are that are making them unhappy or making them feel unfulfilled. But they're never very clear on what these little things are. And then there's guys like me that are like, well, look, I'm willing to do anything. I'm willing to climb a mountain to make you happy. But I don't know what these little things are unless you tell me what they are.
Yeah. And one piece of advice. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, but that's really what it comes down to. I feel like guys are willing to do those things, but they don't know what those little things are half the time.
Because they don't pay attention.
Yeah.
Either they don't pay attention or, as you were saying, women are quite vague. Like, even I find myself from, I'm like so clearly saying something in my mind because I understand the ins and outs of that thing that I'm expressing, but it's not received on the other side because it's not like logical and it's not clear.
Yeah.
Cut, because sometimes I may not want that in that scenario. So it's challenging. So I'm going to say two things. One thing that I know as a woman I would want, I would want action and leadership in that moment where my guy would come in and say, something's going on with us. I don't like it. I don't want it. I'm really unhappy about it. I've been shoving it under the carpet for too long.
Pin her fist on the table?
Yeah, basically saying, like, I know this is happening and it's bothering me too, and I'm sorry I didn't speak up sooner. But here's what I'd like to do. I've called a therapist. We don't have to go to this one, but I've called a therapist. You have an appointment next week. Like, have a plan of action. Because I know that...
Also have like a mask of Leonardo DiCaprio's face. Like, just put that on and like she'll
absolutely
be into it.
That will always be a win-win.
And don't play blame games. Take accountability, because a lot of times that, you know, people when they get into these things, they love to start pointing the finger.
Is it this? That is not helpful.
Take
if you're trying to fix things, it's not helpful. The other thing, and I have like a much grander advice.
You should get this guy's wife's email, and you could do a little
investigating. I know, seriously.
You would, to know his best path of action, you would need to know where his wife's head is at.
Yeah. Oh, I know where her head's
at. And I'm sure he has no idea where her head's at.
No,
so
she's not
hard
telling
for him.
Exactly, right. But he's not asking.
Right.
So that's what I think a lot of this happens. So I think
her head's under my bed. I cut it off and I killed her.
Yeah. One other thing that is very helpful for a lot of couples, and this is still you taking the action to do it, not saying like maybe we should read this book. It's you doing it. Say, I've read this book. I've got it. Here's what's going on. You read this piece. We're going to figure it out. The Five Love Languages is one of the best books in the entire world. So I've talked about it before, but basically it breaks everything down to there are five love languages that people speak, and the way they receive and the way they give may be completely different. They may have like one or two that are top ones for them, whatever it is. You really have to find out what your partner's love language is, because if my love language is, I know mine is acts of kindness or acts of service. That's huge for me. So if your love language that you speak is words of appreciation and you're always telling me, oh, Marnie, you look good and this and that falls on deaf ears for me. That means absolutely nothing if you're not being kind, if you're not doing kind things for me that show you care about me, that I literally cannot hear the words of appreciation if you're not doing that. And that can they talk about your love bucket or your love tank gets depleted over time if you're not getting those things that you really need. And a lot of people don't know how to define what they need, like what you said. Or they don't even know that they need these things. And I think having a guidebook like the Five Love Languages really helps people get clear and they're able to communicate.
I've used that book.
By the way, it doesn't come in Cliff Notes, by the way.
Yeah, not to read.
But I've used
that. Yeah, I know that's what you're wondering.
Really come?
I've used that book as a way to explain or express that I'm being proactive and being a better person. And just that alone.
Oh, huge.
Scored me a lot of points.
Huge.
Like, oh, he's doing something.
He's researching.
And he's being proactive. Okay, cool. So that did open up the conversation,
the lines,
I guess.
It just gives her communication. More faith. Like, oh, you care about
right,
this as well.
Right. So that did help.
Yeah.
But I mean, I suggest, you're right. Read the books. Probably more beneficial.
No, but it
than pretending.
But just knowing about those
that's
things.
Because
then
school.
Even if she can't say, here are the examples, you have a general idea of what it is that can be.
Being proactive is a great way to show you're serious.
Yeah. Well, I know and I keep referring back to this relationship I just got out of, but it was so much talk and so little action of I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And eventually it just wore me down to where I just didn't even care anymore, like if you did it or not, because I was so checked out.
Yeah.
So it was just like, it was just these kind of empty promises of I'm going to become this
better
person.
Because then you roll your
eyes
when they say, you're like,
yeah. And then when I would roll my eyes and say, well, I'll believe it when I see it, then it would start a fight.
Yeah.
But it's like, you've done nothing to show me that these things are actually possible.
Yeah. But I think what happens with a lot of couples is like they don't either know how, or their ego is involved in some way where it like feels uncomfortable, or they don't agree with what it is that other person needs. Either they're uncomfortable with it, or they're scared of it, or they just don't get it. But I think that a lot of communication and understanding that this will make my significant other happy, and then she'll like me more, and then we'll have sex. Like that, if you put that
and I would try
mind,
to explain that.
Yeah.
Like women are so connected by their brain to sex. That guys, it's like for men see a vagina and want to put their penis in it. For women, we don't see a penis necessarily and just want to put it in our vagina.
Right.
We want to see all the things of action happening and then go, ooh, that's all like amazing. Now I want that penis in my vagina.
Yeah, I did this.
That was a really awkward explanation.
No, but that's a good
explanation.
No, but it is funny. So one other thing about the penis thing, but I did this survey of women to like find out the, you know, top sexiest parts that they list for a man. Not one woman listed the penis.
Well, I have to beg to differ. That's why I always say keep your penis dressed up. Nice little bow tie.
I mean, if you've got a good one, obviously little, they're going to talk about it. Not one
hat.
Woman said that as a sexy part. Isn't that interesting?
Mine's ripped. Mine has abs. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Let's see it.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Okay. No, but I think these are all great things that guys also, they need to know about women. Like exactly what you just said, that women are so like cerebral, like that it's not just about our hormones driving our actions. It's actually our brain drives our hormones. I'm not a scientist at all, so I don't even know if that's accurate. But like, I can't turn on unless my brain is turned on by you.
Absolutely.
And my heart.
You could be the hottest dude in the world, abbed penis, everything.
With a mustache on it. And
But if you're kind of being unattractive in your actions, no way.
Yeah.
And, you know.
So I'm wearing this penis ascot for no reason?
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were actually doing like ripped, like doing actual
his
moves.
Like, doing sit-ups right
workouts.
Now.
Yeah.
No, I think, you know, I hate to blame pornography again, but you were saying before it takes away a guy's urge once in a while.
It does.
But I think a lot, a lot of times, too much porn for a lot of these guys equal the idea that women are just waiting with, they're just waiting there ready to go.
Yeah,
like, totally.
So not
just
real.
Did a whole
not to
video
sound crude, but
that.
Not to sound crude, but just laying there wet and ready to go. Like, guys don't think they need to do any foreplay or emotional. A lot of guys just think, oh, yeah, in porn, the girl's just waiting there for
like,
for
I'm in
Dickens.
The post office. Why is nobody offering to, like, handle my baggage? Like, what's going on here? Yeah. You know, like, that is what happens. So the whole video that I did on whether porn affects the male brain and your sex and dating life, it's very similar to the way that drugs affect your brain. You slowly require more and more and more stimulus, and like normal everyday stimulus just depresses you and doesn't satisfy you anymore.
Oh, yeah.
So any normal interaction with a woman is going to be like so unsatisfactory.
That's why if you read current articles now, millennials are way into butt play. Everything's shoving up.
Yeah, we had this conversation on our radio show. Said. The amount of any type of butt play in general is up because of pornography.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Save this for next time.
I know. Seriously, next time you come back onto the show, we're going to continue talking about butt play.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The,
thank you
the
guys
sale
for
on gas
sites
must have gone up
you.
Or something.
Tell people about your show because it is fantastic. And
we
really
are,
fun.
Yeah, Covino and Rich, and you guys are always welcome on our show. Covino and Rich on SiriusXM. We do more. We're from New York. We're East Coast guys, but we're doing mornings from L.A. on Rush 93.
Yeah,
and it's on demand.
7 to 10 every morning, West Coast time. So
that.
You can catch SiriusXM.com/on demand if you want to listen to any episode anytime.
Perfect. You guys are wonderful.
Thank you guys.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
That's
great. Great.
So much
you guys
fun.
Are good looking and smart and
oh,
talented.
Oh, God.
And
you stop.
Good looking is all that matters. Good looking
is
all that matters,
over?
Though.
And you're so fixable.
Rich, it doesn't stimulate here, bro. You got to show her, dude. Didn't you,
exactly.
Didn't you pay attention?
Let me see the ascot. Anyway, thank you again for being on the show. If you want to write in questions to overanalyze this, write them into ask@askwomenpodcast.com. New episodes of our podcast come out every Thursday evening. Please don't be a wimp. Go and subscribe. Do not download individual episodes. Just waste your time that you could be spending on going out and meeting women. You guys are awesome. I'll see you next week.